Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 112. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in His commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved, and they will be remembered forever. They're not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second testament reading today is a continuation of the Beatitudes that we've been looking on. It comes from Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 13. Let us listen to what God is saying to us. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Low-key, my squad is so salty about the tea I spilled. They are throwing shade, no cap. But I have passed the vibe check, and they just all want to be this mood, period. If you have no idea what I just said, it's a good chance that you're over 30. It's also possible that I, an over 30 someone, used all that slang incorrectly. Every generation comes up with their own lingo. We used to have groovy or chill. Some of us used to say, what's up, or peace. Actually, any group of people that has something in common that is central to their identity have terms or gestures that will be special to just their group. Slang words help us know who is one of us and who is not. It creates a sense of belonging. When I was in marching band in high school, the trumpet section would yell antilog at each other before school. They would yell antilog in the hallways at each other, and they would chant it before big performances. No one else in the band knew what this meant. Their significant others would try to get them to spill the truth. When I was drum major, I tried to convince them that technically I'm the leader of all the sections, so technically I should know what analog means. No one else ever knew, except for the trumpet section. A couple years after graduation, I asked someone and they laughed and said, oh, it actually never meant anything. But I think that was just a line and that I will never know the truth because I'm an outsider. Most of the lingo and gestures in a community develop naturally or for no particular reason. However, others come about on purpose to fill a need that the community has. When early Christians were being persecuted and killed for their faith, they had to come up with insider code that would distinguish who was safe to talk to about their faith. They came up with the ichthys. We've probably seen this stick fish on cars or jewelry. The fish is made of two arced lines. And if a Christian met someone on the road and they wanted to test to see if they were safe to talk to or not, they would casually draw an arc in the sand around them. If the other person was also a Christian, they would understand and draw the other arc on their side, making the ichthys fish. This would let both parties know that it was safe to talk about house church gatherings, but if the other person was not a Christian, then the person who drew the first arc would just kind of go undetected because they were just idly playing in the sand. Salt, from today's verse, is another insider lingo. It was something that the followers of Jesus could say to one another and they would instantly know what it was meant by it. It was a coded term that held more meaning the more time you spent on the inside. One of the geniuses of using the word salt is that it's a common mineral. Just about every culture has learned the value of salt. It can be found all over the earth. So Jesus is being very clever introducing this concept to his disciples. Salt has all kinds of importance. We use it to keep our roads safe. In Jesus' time, it was very valuable. It preserves, it exfoliates, it's used in pottery and tanning and dyeing cloth and soap. But the use I want us to focus on is its use on food. Salt is key to a good dish. I learned this from every cooking show ever made. They're always talking about salt usage. The tasters complain when something isn't salted enough. But we all know that too much of a good thing is also bad. It ruins the meal, our blood pressure and cholesterol. The chefs that can master salt are the ones who win the competition. Salt has a unique characteristic as a seasoning. It has its own flavor, but it also brings out whatever flavor it's put with. If we put salt in water, we would say it tastes salty. If we put too much salt on a dish, we say it's too salty. But when used in the right proportions, saltiness subsides and the other flavors shine alongside it. Salt is unique. It's its own flavor, but it's best when it's in union with other flavors. Now, this can seem counterintuitive. We assume if I'm letting another flavor shine, then I must be diminishing my flavor. But as I was writing this sermon, I was snacking on Cheez-Its, my favorite snack. And I could easily taste the salt and the cheese at the same time. They complement each other. When salt is added to a dish, it somehow brings out the flavors that are already there to be more entirely a flavor. Salt goes with just about everything, too. Some flavors, like mint and citrus, do not go well together, but salt is able to complement a wide variety of flavors. I've seen people put salt on watermelon, but I still think salt and chocolate is the height of pairings. Salt adds value to a dish and brings out the best flavors it's in union with. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. He's claiming those characteristics of the mineral for us. We are meant to be unique. We're meant to have our own relationship with God, our own personality, our own spiritual expression, and we're supposed to be in union with others to bring out their uniqueness. We are there to add value to the spaces and conversations we find ourselves in as partners. To become the best partners, the best salt that we can be, we need two things to happen. One, we need to take care to understand our own flavor, and we need to add to the value of with our presence. The first one, to take care of our own flavor, means to know who you are and stop worrying about other people's flavor. We are given a unique flavor profile in life, our personalities, how we express ourselves outwardly, our sexuality, our race, our gender, our inabilities, our strength. These and more are what make us uniquely us. These things come together to make an individual human being, beings that all bear the image of God. Too many times we fall into the trap of being someone the world wants us to be instead of just being ourselves. We've all had, at some point, felt the pressure to change ourselves to meet an expectation. Maybe we wore a style of clothes or did our hair in a way that was not at all flattering to us, but because everyone else was in those styles, we forced ourselves into that same standard. By ignoring our true style, our unique flavor profile, we do damage to the image of God that we hold by not being true to who we are created to be. And this not only hurts ourselves, it hurts the people around us. Because when we think it's so important to be one way, we negate the value of all the other ways of being, because we're saying that this way is better, this way is worth effort to squeeze ourselves into. And in order to justify the efforts that we put in to meet that norm, we unknowingly and sometimes actively bully others to fit in too. Because if I'm doing the work to fit in, I'm going to make you feel guilty for not doing the work just as hard as me. We've all had this guttural reaction to seeing someone who isn't doing this work to fit in, someone who isn't as clean as we keep ourselves, someone who isn't actively trying to not be awkward in public, or someone who isn't keeping their voice down. We think, what's their problem? Why aren't they trying to fit in? But in reality, they might be being more authentic to their flavor than we are to ours. And we're just jealous that we put so much effort suppressing ourselves to fit this standard that we don't really even like. Now, I give you the clothing example because it's easy to laugh at the shared experience of wearing something that was unflattering. But this is a serious issue. People are dying, trying to fit in to our cultural standards because not everyone can be the same. And when the world screams at you that you need to fit in when you inherently don't, sometimes the only option seems to be at the bottom of a bottle of pills or to kick the chair out from under you. 70% of transgender teens in our country have seriously thought about killing themselves this year. This is because our culture, and truthfully our religion, has declared their identity, their flavor, an abomination. They hear the message that their flavor is unwanted. In truth, the Bible says nothing against transgender individuals. And in fact, the first convert to Christianity is a eunuch, the time period's only understanding of what a gender non-conforming person might be. I heard a theologian say that God created transgender people for the same reason God created grapes and wheat, so that humans can become a part of the act of creation. We take the raw materials and make something new. We take grapes and make wine. We take wheat and make bread. We take a human born in a male body and create a beautiful woman. This past week was Transgender Awareness Week. So I wanted to highlight the severity of what happens when we don't take care of our own flavor and spend more time worrying about others. 350 transgender people were murdered in hate crimes this year. And that's only the ones we know about. Most of them were killed in their own homes. Some were burned alive. The youngest was 15. We are so concerned about what the right flavors are. We are so concerned about making people fit the standard that whole communities are suffering. We are to test our teachings and our actions against the fruits of the Spirit, to look at what kind of fruit is produced by our biblical interpretation. If we are to do that with our ideas about gender, it is safe to say that the fruit we're handing to our transgender siblings is rotten. We need to be the salt. The cultural standards that are not what God wants for us need to be set aside. We have to look inside and find that image of God and pull it out while respecting the image that others are discovering inside themselves. We need to understand that our own selves, our own flavor, our own personalities, our sexuality, our inabilities, our gender, the things that make us who we are as image bearers of God, the things that will never change no matter how badly we want to fit into that norm, we need to know what those things are about ourselves. Know your flavor so that you can add value to the places God puts you. The second part of being the salt is to add value. This is what salt does when it's used in right proportion. We can become too much and overpower. We can be too little and disappear into the array of other flavors. But in balance, we work in union with the flavors around us. This balance is a constant adjustment depending on what's happening. But in whatever space we're in, our job as salt is to add value. Some spaces will be like the Cheez-Its. We could meet others in a partnership of equality and enjoy two great flavors. We all have those friends with whom conversations flow smoothly, or the coworker who you brainstorm with and brilliance surface. It's natural and balanced. Some spaces are going to be teeming with other flavors, and our job is to not overpower the voices of others. As someone who has ideas, I was always that kid who raised their hand. I've learned that being the first to speak is not always the best scenario. Often, if I keep my hand down, someone else will have a similar idea, and we can riff off of each other and synergize something better than either one of us had alone. I have to hold back my flavor for a time to get a sense of what other voices and flavors are saying and to find who wants to work together. Some spaces will be bland, with not much going on, and we get to be the champion to save the day. I read a study that said most people enjoy being talked to on the bus. I know this sounds wrong. But what the researchers did is they asked someone at a bus stop if they would be willing to start a conversation with someone when they got on the bus. Some of them agreed, and they went onto the bus and began to talk with someone there. At the end of their conversation, the person who started it gave them a piece of paper in explaining what had just happened. The paper said to contact the researchers to fill out a questionnaire. What they found is that the person who started the conversation was always nervous, always felt awkward. They were worried that the person was going to be mad that they were interrupting their commute. The person who they talked to was overwhelmingly relieved and positive about the conversation. Many of them saying that they were happy to have the change of pace and a human interaction on their commute. There will be times when we get to take the lead and let our flavor shine. Taking the time to care about our own flavors will help us know how to find that balance in the spaces that we're adding value to. We are the salt of the earth. We have a unique flavor that we need to cherish. This means ignoring the standards the world wants us to force into and making sure we aren't reinforcing the standards that are antiquated and dangerous. We have the ability to bring out the flavors around us, either by our equal participation, reserved observation, or active presence. We are to bring flavor, increasing value to every space we find ourselves in. So when I yell at you in the parking lot, salt! Or if I yell at you in the hallway, salt! We'll know what that lingo means, because we belong to a special group of Christians, the salt of the earth.